You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. Great to have you aboard on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. Scott Udash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, our producer on this Wednesday edition of the show. We are presented, as always, by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. And they are the presenting sponsor each and every day of the Gym Class program, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by checking them out at dupaco.com. Good show for you. We've got a lot to cover today. Chris Liss will join us to talk fantasy baseball, maybe a little bit of early fantasy football as far as maybe some of the potential first-round draft choices coming in. That will be tomorrow night, of course, and we will talk with Chris coming up at about half past the hour. Prior to that, though, big day as far as the state of Iowa. High school wrestling, so near and dear to the hearts of a lot of people in the Hawkeye State. And we will kick that around with KJ Pilcher, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to come on at the last minute with us. And we will talk about the big changes announced today over in Boone. And we'll talk about that as well. Mark Emmert stepping down as the president of the NCAA. And what does that possibly mean for the organization, for the future, etc., etc.? Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is also our phone line as well, 319-366-1600. And not only that, but we have your latest chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Gridiron Champs, George Halas and the Chicago Bears exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. That runs through November the 6th. And we've got a pair of tickets to the exhibit along with some National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library swag for you. More information on that at kgymradio.com. As I keep one eye on... Well, I keep 98.9% of my attention on our glorious show here, but 0.9 is on the Sox game going on against the Cal Eldred's Kansas City Royals right now. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. Good afternoon, everyone. And I don't have that luxury as my studio sits. My back is to the TV, which rarely happens in my life.
Yeah, we'll get to all the scores. A lot of afternoon games going on in the majors today. Mm-hmm. I will let you know that the White Sox leading 3-2, that in the seventh inning, but it is a precarious one-run lead right now. The Royals have runners at first and third with one out. As the Sox, who walked 11 last night, are trying to get back to that wonderful mark again here today. We'll see how it all plays out, but we'll keep you updated on that. Yeah, a lot to get to today. We mentioned a lot of news as far as the high school front is concerned with wrestling. And we'll talk with KJ Pilcher about that coming up in just a little bit. But as rumored, plenty of changes. We won't go into them right here. We'll wait until we talk with KJ. But a lot of things that were rumored have happened, and we'll talk about that, the advent of the girls' wrestling season. We'll do that with KJ coming up here in just a little bit. The news coming out yesterday, though, Mark, about Mark Emmert from the NCAA. Do you believe it's a coincidence or not that with everything going on as far as the NCAA right now, a lot of tumultuous times, a lot of turbulence in that organization, and Mark Emmert has decided that he is going to step away. It may take upwards of a year for him to finally completely step away from the organization, but it is just, I think, another very interesting brick as far as the wall is concerned about, as I mentioned, tumultuous times in the NCAA.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because the You know, the job that Emmert took 12 years ago is quite different than it is right now, between Supreme Court rulings and NIL coming into being, and presidents desiring to draw up a new constitution for the NCAA. The job is different. It is difficult. Emmert has come under, you know, a fair amount of criticism for a variety of things, between penalizing certain programs and levying out punishment and whatnot. But this is a job I don't want. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Is there going to be an NCAA, excuse me, that governs Division I athletes or athletics? Because so often we think of the NCAA only as Division I, because it gets the most exposure, it gets the most coverage, most money, but it also is the governing body for Division II and Division III schools. You rarely hear about that, and I get that. But what's going to happen in Division I athletics? I'm going to be fascinated to see.
Well, this thing could go one of two ways, obviously. This thing, as you mentioned, long rumored to the effect that we could see a whole new organization that is going to be basically just, you know, only for the Power 5 or Power 6 or whatever the case. It may just go to all Division I, like you talked about, a blanket organization. Leave the NCAA for Division II and Division III. And that has long been rumored. It may even splinter off into just the top level of Division I. And because they are so different than everybody else. I mean, I hate to say that, and I hate the idea, but they are. They're just so much different than everybody else. And that unfortunately includes a Missouri Valley Conference teams, UNI and Drake. They're on a different plane than Iowa and Iowa State right now. You could see that happen, or you could see somebody try to step in there and, you know, be a Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis and basically redo everything as far as the NCAA with an iron fist. I mean, it's got to be one or the other. Someone, I'm not going to criticize anyone because I don't want to walk in the shoes of Mark Emmert. He had a, like you said, an impossible job. But they can't afford to have somebody of that ilk once again running the NCAA. Or, I mean, right now, it's the Wild West. We know that, with transfer portal, with NIL, with, you know, seven-figure contracts coming around the corner to go play basketball. It's crazy right now, and I'm not exactly sure how this is going to play out.
Maybe it'll be a situation where the governing body will be a consortium of presidents and athletic directors that make the decision. Obviously, you have to have a chairman of a committee like that. I don't know. Like I said, that's a job I don't want. And I don't know who would want it under the present day circumstances.
319-366-1600. We're going to talk more about that after we talk to Chris Liss. Also, a little bit from Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard, who was a happy man, but not a happy man. We'll get to more on that coming up in a little bit. But we're going to get to KJ Pilcher coming up here and talk with KJ about all the changes as far as wrestling is concerned. And we'll do that here in a moment. 8186, talking about the NCAA, iron fist to rein in issues. Now, even if that is a group of presidents, Mark, or the presidential committee, or however they want to go about it, I agree. I think this thing has got, they got to come up with something, a set of standards or what have you. Basically, with everything going on right now, it is the Wild West.
Look at basketball. You've got, 350 teams, quote-unquote, Division I, and Duke is not Long Island, and vice versa. And you have football, 120-some Division I FBS teams, but it is splintered to FCS.
Yes.
So, you know, that might be a situation, similar situation that they adopt in basketball. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. More on that coming up in just a little bit. But we want to bring in our friend KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us here on short notice on a Wednesday edition of the program, because it was a big day as far as what is going on in the world of Iowa high school wrestling here in the States, as many things that have been talked about for a while came to fruition today. First of all, how much, I mean, in your day as a Buena Vista Beaver, KJ, you could have just, you could have raked in money left and right with NIL, man.
That's a very good point and an opportunity that I wish I could have cashed in on back then. Back then, the opportunities would have been endless, I think, as a BV Beaver. But unfortunately, that wasn't in place back then. But
you could have taken over Storm Lake, man.
Oh, I would have been.
He did.
I would have been elevated to a different form of celebrity there instead of just having my poster on the post office wall.
Even Al Baxter couldn't have come up with an $800,000 deal for you.
No, if there was one person that could.
Yeah.
I think it would have been him.
Yeah.
We always joked that he could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves in the middle of July.
So. What a man. What a man. Well, KJ, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And a lot of changes today announced by the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Long rumored, but now are going to happen. And I think one surprise as well. First of all, sectionals are no more.
Right. And that's, I was just thinking about this. I think each of the last two seasons, when it came to postseason time, I think you've asked me, is this the last year we see sectionals? And of course, each year it kind of got closer and closer to the point that, this is going to be the last year. And really confident about that, here this season. And sure enough, they decided to pull the trigger. I know that's something that we've looked at the numbers over the years, and the brackets have just thinned out, especially in Class 1A during that weekend. Talking to Lisbon Hall of Famer Brad Smith just a little bit ago, he mentioned how he had one wrestler that qualified for districts without wrestling a match. So the numbers are starting to get to the point where it definitely called for kind of going to a district only through all three classes. And finally, the association, listened to the advisory committee. I know the coaches have kind of been pushing towards this and decided this was the time to get rid of 1A and 2A. I believe Tom Keating actually specifically said because of the incomplete sectional brackets that made this the right move.
Number two, I find very interesting, and we've talked about this multiple times, is a state dual meet tournament. It's going to be separated from the traditional state tournament. I wrestled, I think, a couple weeks prior.
In place of the sectionals.
To the traditionals. So it's basically going to be between conference and districts, right?
Yeah. Yep. And that's, and I think one move is related to the other. I think it was when they decided that they were going to do away with sectionals, that was going to be the opportunity to move it. And that's what they're going to do. It'll be that weekend that normally would be the 1A and 2A sectionals. That weekend's going to be open for those schools anyway. 3A schools, not very many, if any, really competed on that weekend. So it was going to be one that all classes could fit into their schedule without losing a weekend or anything like that. So I think one move was kind of predicated on the other. It's something that we'll find out. They said they have it. They don't have a site set for it yet. I've heard from multiple people that it's a very good likelihood of it ending up in Coralville at Extreme Arena. And it would make sense because what you would have, you had the Girls Union announce the site and dates for its inaugural state tournament, which will be February 2nd and 3rd. That's a Thursday and Friday. Leading into that sectional weekend, or what would have been sectional weekend. So with that being held at Extreme Arena, you're looking at the ability to hold the girls' state tournament Thursday, Friday, and then have the state duels on Saturday. You're still going to have the 24 teams, 8 teams per class, but it just makes sense to have that 3-day event and for state duels to kind of close that out as well that weekend. And I know that's something that a lot of coaches, you've seen teams in the past really kind of bow out of regional duels. You've had ranked teams, Underwood here recently, decided not to participate because they didn't like the idea. A lot of programs did not like the idea of wrestling the team event right before the traditional state tournament. You've seen, injuries and other things that have kind of popped up in the past. Now this gives them a different, this gives them the ability to participate and not really interfere with that late individual tournaments with districts and state as well. So I think you'll see a lot more kind of buy-in or participation from all teams now that it's kind of separated itself.
I would agree. KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, joining us, talking about the changes to Iowa high school wrestling that will start in 2022-2023, elimination of sectionals. And with the elimination of sectionals, the one surprise announcement today was the fact that we are going from now 16 qualifiers in each class. At each weight, they've expanded it to 24 at each weight in each class. And was this a situation as, we're getting rid of sectionals, so we're going to allow more opportunity for kids to experience getting to the state tournament, a combination of both, and now this will take over the Wednesday of the state tournament week, right?
Right, and I think that's probably the biggest part of it. You're eliminating one leg of the postseason, and the way to make up for that is to expand the state field. And I think it's something that they could have done in the past, even when they still had sectionals in place. They award 8 medals per bracket. That's half the 16 wrestler field in the past, and a wrestler could go 1-2 at the state meet and still find themselves on the podium. I think a lot of people thought if you're awarding 8 medals, expanding it to 24 made sense, and I think this just kind of goes along with that, with what you said, Scott, that you're taking away a leg of that postseason, so this is going to give wrestlers another opportunity, just kind of another chance, or an added ability to experience that state level competition. So I think what you'll see is the top 8 seeds get a first round bye, and the rest go head to head. So that was the one thing that maybe wasn't a given with this move, but I think it turns out to be a good move. And like you said, the other thing too, I think they're still under contract with Wells Fargo Arena for 4 days of that week. And this allows them to be able to expand, not be so clustered on Friday, because right now with the 3-day tournament, that Friday is really packed in there. When you have quarterfinals and semifinals together. So this will allow them to kind of have more of a natural flow and use that 4-day format. Even though I thought it was weird on the website, they still have the dates as February 16th through the 18th. Might just be a typo because they do say they're staying with the 4-day format.
Not unanimous. 1096 on the text line weighing in. Sectionals are a vital part of the road to Wells Fargo. Disappointing to see it go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some people that feel that way, but, you know, just looking at the numbers and seeing the participation, you know, like I said, Mark, there were weight classes where you only had one individual in a sectional moving on. You know, and something just had to be done with that. You know, and I know it's there are still some pockets of the state where you do have full brackets. You still have a full field, or, you know, at least a strong contingent, not those ones where somebody's getting through without wrestling a match, obviously. But, you know, I think this was something where the numbers were just kind of dwindling, especially in small schools, you know, the 1A and, you know, 2A's only been a 16 field for sectionals as well. So, you know, I just think overall this is just better for competition, even though I understand where people are coming from with that traditional view.
Yeah. Well, you're in baseball mode now, plus you got summer wrestling.
Softball.
Softball. Can't forget mm-hmm. that. You got that to follow as well. But, you know, Fargo will be coming up soon, and everybody will be making their way up there, right?
Yeah, and you've got a lot of actually a pretty strong contingent of wrestlers that are heading out to Las Vegas for the U.S. Open.
Yep.
At different age groups, you know, Iowa City High, Ben Keeter, Colby Franklin, I believe Carter Seaton are among some of the wrestlers heading out there to compete. You know, there are four Iowa Hawkeyes and four Hawkeye Wrestling Club members going out there to compete at the older divisions. West Delaware has a couple, and Wyatt Volker and Cam Guther heading out there to compete as preps as well. So even though it's the off season, with today's news and the U.S. Open coming up, you still have a lot of action going on. A lot of stuff churning in wrestling.
There you go. Hey, KJ, appreciate it, man, and you take care, and thanks for the information, and I think a good day for wrestling today.
Yeah, I think good move overall, but thanks for having me on, and just make sure we get some warmer weather here before we get to May.
Just don't get hurt throwing batting practice, KJ, okay?
Hey, I had a couple near misses already, so I'm going to have to watch it.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. KJ Pilcher of the Gazette joining us. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter. Does a great job with wrestling and, yeah, baseball as well. 319-366-1600. Before we get to your scoreboard update, let's go ahead and give the listeners the opportunity right now to win our giveaway today, and that is with the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library, as we have a pair of tickets to the exhibit featuring George Halas, the, of course, longtime player, coach, owner of the Chicago Bears, co-founder of the NFL. And they've got that at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. You're also going to get some swag. More information available at kgymradio.com. Exhibit features artifacts and photos from the NFL Hall of Fame and the Bears. And if you can't wait until football to start NFL style this fall, this will help you get your fix. We're going to take caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. Ben will get your information, and we'll let you know who our winner is coming up here in just a little bit. Going to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock today. Right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
Indeed, and in Major League Baseball right now, 3 games in progress. Scott smiling a little bit.
Andrew Vaughn!
3-run homer by said Vaughn, giving the White Sox A 6-3 lead, bottom of the seventh inning, over the Kansas City Royals. Also, the Cardinals laying it on the first-place Mets. 10-5, bottom of the eighth inning in St. Louis. Just underway, fourth inning anyway. The Dodgers and Diamondbacks scoreless out in Arizona. The Colonels made it two in a row over Beloit earlier today in an 11 a.m. start. The Colonels winning 2-1 after last night's 3-0 victory. The Colonels now 14-3 on the season. And finally, Bob Norton, former Iowa City Regina basketball coach, longtime Iowa City educator, has died at the age of 82. Norton was the coach of Regina teams that won state championships in 1976, 78, and 79 at the small school level. I guarantee you they could have beaten a lot of large schools. Mark Gannon, the leader on that team. Norton's son, Randy Norton, played at Regina. Wonderful coach. Very big presence in Iowa City.
Yeah, very much so. That's where the term Running Regals came from.
Yep.
Back in the 1970s with Mark Gannon and that group. And yeah, if they played big schools, they could have easily won. They were really, really good. Good coach, too.
Mm-hmm.
He will be missed out there. Also want to mention that the people going to the Las Vegas Open, Lindmar's got the Nachtaborns and Braden Park also going out there to the Las Vegas Open. So that's going to be very prestigious. And then, of course, they go to Fargo coming up later in the summer. Coming up between 4 and 6, your next chance to win with Todd and Alex, the Todd Bromel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. All this week, your chance to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Shinedown, the Planet Zero World Tour, with special guest Jelly Roll. And they are coming to, yes, Jelly Roll, Mark, Jelly Roll.
Okay.
To the Alliant Energy Powerhouse on Tuesday, September the 6th. And tickets go on sale this Friday at 11 a.m. More information available at KGYMradio.com. They will have those tickets between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600. Thank you very much for all of the calls. We have our winner for the tickets for the exhibit over the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. We're going to take a break, get you a weather update, and come back, and Chris Liss will join us. Fantasy baseball questions welcome. If you have an early fantasy football question, I'm sure Chris will not shy away from that. If you have a question maybe about someone who might get drafted tomorrow night in the first round, you may field that as well. We shall see. 319-366-1600. That is a text line to get your questions for Chris Liss of ChrisLiss.com. Stay with us. More of the Gym Class coming up after this on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have clouds building in for the remainder of the day today. It is going to be cool and a bit breezy. Then later tonight, we'll have mostly cloudy skies. Showers are going to be developing as we head into Thursday morning. And we are going to have light to moderate rain showers on and off through the day tomorrow. Temperatures will once again be held to the low to mid 50s. Then we'll dry out and we'll have cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 60s on Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Mike here with Brown Shoe Fit in Marion. What kind of shoes can we help you find? Athletic, running, walking, every day? At Brown Shoe Fit, we have them from top brands including Hey Dude, Brooks, New Balance, Echo, Clarks, and Hoka. Sizes up to 15 in regular and extra wide widths. The professionals in our store will help you get the right shoes with the right fit. Come find the pair you're looking for at Brown Shoe Fit on Twixtown Road at Collins Square. Honestly, it's like having your own store.
Breaking Benjamin, live in concert. Breaking Benjamin with special guests Seether, Starset, and Lacey Sturm. Alliant Energy Powerhouse, Friday, May 6th. Get tickets now at creventslive.com. Breaking Benjamin, rocking all the hits for one incredible night in Cedar Rapids. Get tickets now. For more, check breakingbenjamin.com.
All right, Coralville, now that Raising Cane's is officially open at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue, whatever you're craving, you can skip the line and order online. Basically, you can get clicking for chicken. Say you want some of their hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers or crispy crinkle-cut fries or fresh coleslaw or buttery Texas toast or all of the above. All you've got to do is place your order online at order.raisingcanes.com. Faster, just got faster at Raising Cane's, now open in Coralville at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with you on the Gym Class. John from Cedar Rapids is our winner of the pair of tickets to the exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library on George Halas. And we've got more pairs of tickets to the exhibit to give away coming up on Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow, Cole Bear will join us. We will go over UNI spring football. The Panthers had their spring scrimmage on Saturday at the Uni Dome in Cedar Falls, and we'll talk about that and talk about the first round of the NFL draft. You can hear that tomorrow night right here on KGYM beginning at 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies. Coming up tonight, we've got NBA playoff basketball for you. At 6 o'clock this evening with a 6:30 tip-off, it will be game number 5. Milwaukee will try to close out the Chicago Bulls tonight in Milwaukee. Bucks leading that series 3-1. Also tonight, Golden State will try to close out the Denver Nuggets as they lead that series 3-1. That is the late game coming up tonight on the NBA playoff scoreboard. 319-366-1600, our friend Chris Liss of chrisliss.com. Check out that brand new website of Chris's, and also still working in conjunction with the folks at RotoWire as well. Joining us, if you have a question about fantasy baseball, Chris would love to answer that. Love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, phone line as well at 319-366-1600. And greetings, Chris. How are you?
I was doing better before I had Carlos Carrasco in a couple of leagues getting knocked around. And it was annoying because you had two guys on and somebody hit a swinging dribbler. I think it was Corey Dickerson hit a swinging bunt, beat it out with two outs. That put another run in. So, you know, that's how it goes. You know, he was doing great, gave up 7 earned runs, and that's going to hurt.
That's not like the Knight Trout check swing triple, is it?
No, it was that at least, you know, I mean, This you know, it was a perfect bunt, but it was a full swing. You know, he just barely got it. Two outs, two strikes, and did a lot of damage. So, you know, it is what it is. But it's fantasy baseball. It's a marathon. Can't get too worried about it.
Yeah, at least you're not a Tiger fan after last night's game in Minnesota.
I didn't see that. What happened? They blew Soto blew the save. What happened there?
Oh man, it was the craziest play of the year.
First and second for the Twins. Sano hits a scream to right, which Rex Grossman couldn't handle. And Sano kind of made a base running error, which forced a throw home. And then the catcher lollipop went over third, allowing two runs to score.
That's rough. Yeah, too bad for the Tigers. Yeah, the other was the Buxton walk-off the other day off of Liam Hendricks. But he just,
Yeah.
That was just monstrous. I mean, you know, he hit it and the outfielder was like, okay, this game over. I'm not going to move. You know, Buxton's already been hurt, but you're still getting your money's worth out of Buxton.
Very much so. Chris Liss joining us. You have a question on fantasy baseball or maybe an early fantasy football question. 319-366-1600 as he joins us here on a Wednesday edition of the show. I got to start off talking about your New York Yankees and one Anthony Rizzo. Everybody had Anthony Rizzo penciled in for 8 home runs, and we're not even through April, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rizzo always had power, but it was always like 25, 30, you know, his peak, he was like 32 home runs. You'd never bet on him to hit 45 or 50 or lead the league, and he probably won't, but What's crazy is Rizzo's the guy who hit three homers in that game, but the outfield for the Yankees, because I can't remember who was off. I guess they gave Aaron Hicks a day off. It was Judge, Stanton, and Gallo were the outfielders. So Stanton's hit 59 in a year. Judge's hit 52, and Gallo's hit 40 a few times. That was their starting outfield. And then they get the first baseman, hits three home runs. They can't really play defense. They're just, it's a softball team. You know, the Yankees are like an old, you know, when the old guys, those, that old guy softball team that all can hit home runs, the big fat guys, that's the Yankees. And it's cool. It's a cool way to build a team, especially if you have a park where the ball goes out pretty easily.
And a short porch.
Yeah, and for the lefties. And Rizzo, you know, he just may be perfectly suited for this. We'll see. You know, he came on in the second half last year, but this will be his first full season there. And Wrigley, you know, Wrigley, if the wind's blowing out, it's a hitter's park. But I think Wrigley is mostly a pitcher's park.
Well, speaking of the Cubs, Suzuki's been really good at the plate for Chicago. How do you view him the rest of this season and beyond?
I got one share of him. I mean, it's always kind of fun to take the superstar from, you know, Japan and think, you know, okay, let's gamble on this guy instead of sort of just a guy player at that, you know, in that range when you're drafting. So I got one. We'll see. You know, again, Wrigley's not a massive hitter's park. But he looks like the real thing. But again, you know, this is only not even three weeks yet. So I don't know. I probably, if we were to draft all over again, he'd probably go about two rounds earlier. He was going in like the, I want to say 14th round. He'd probably go in like the 12th or something if we were to do it over again.
Very much so. Another guy off to a great, the Seattle Mariners off to a great start. Ty France getting things done. People are getting on base, and he's knocking them in so far. At a high average, too, for Seattle.
Yeah, France was a guy that a lot of the sharps in the industry were on. They were like, oh, look out for Ty France. And he's not going to steal bases. He's not like some, you know, flashy name. He's probably not going to hit 40 home runs, but he's just one of those guys who can really hit for average and has some pop. And I don't have any Ty France. He wasn't that cheap because in my circles, like that was a name that, you know, people were talking about. But yeah, he's probably legit. And you just got to realize Seattle does limit him a little bit. It's a pitcher's park, and there's also a lot of pitcher's parks in that division. You know, Oakland's a big pitcher's park. Texas is now probably, we don't know for sure, a pitcher's park. You know, Anaheim is pretty much a pitcher's park, although for lefties, he's a righty. But for lefties, it's been more of a hitter's park. But it's one of the more pitcher-friendly divisions in baseball.
We've always often said if only Byron Buxton could stay healthy. The same could be true, said of Mike Trout, who's off to an excellent start, you know?
Yeah, Trout, I mean, I have one share, and I almost got him a couple other times. I took Acuna over him in one league, and I don't regret that because Acuna's been stealing bases during his rehab assignments. I'm okay with it, but Trout is probably not going to run a whole lot anymore, but it's still Mike Trout. And when he got hurt last year, he was killing it, you know, in April when he got hurt, or early May, or whenever it was, early last year. It's not like Trout has any decline, you know. I mean, there's never been a sign of slowing down except on the steals for Trout. It's just injury. So I think Trout's going to have a monster year. I mean, Trout could hit 50 home runs. You know, Trout could hit 50 home runs and score 130 runs or something insane like that. He's capable of that.
Yeah. Chris List of RotoWire. ChrisList.com joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. 96-63 with a little bit of a statement and a question in here. Mets and the Cardinals just had the latest brawl in baseball. We are off to a record pace as far as brawls are concerned. Mets have had 17 ball head high pitches so far this year. I mean, this is we're going to see suspensions and people missing time due to all of these brawls.
And so, Angel Hernandez called half of them strikes.
Yeah, anyway, well.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, yeah. I'm all for the brawls. You know, I'll say something. You know, recent years, you remember in the NBA, like Magic and Larry hated each other. And that made the games more exciting. They became friends after they retired, but they hated each other when they played. And now you see players that go out to dinner and they're all friends and they get on the court. I know basketball is more personal because it's 5-on-5, but I like to see some bad blood. I think the competition is better when the teams don't like each other.
I think it makes it more dramatic. You know, when they're all good buddies off the field and they play, it's fine. But I like it. So, you know, as long as my guys don't get suspended for very long, I'm okay with a brawl here and there.
Chris, you've been at this a long time. I want to ask you a question about Miguel Cabrera, who, as you know, reached the 3,500 club recently. In fantasy sports, and I don't know when it all started, but was he really the guy, maybe his triple crown year? How did people view Cabrera over the years?
So, I mean, you know, he's obviously was a first-round pick for, you know, better part of a decade. He never ran, so that, you know, was obviously he could never. He did go for, there was a couple of years, like during the triple crown years, it was him and Ryan Braun, Matt Kemp. But Braun and Kemp stole bases, right? So you either would get those two guys or you get Cabrera. Those were sort of the big three for a couple of years. You know, you get Braun for the steals, but Braun would get hurt a lot, and then he got suspended for roids. So Cabrera was the guy you could just be like, all right, you're not going to get steals, but you want a guy's going to hit 335 with 40 home runs and 130 RBIs, 110 runs. So he was great. I think he's one of the best right-handed hitters of all time. And, you know, he had a knee injury and he had some lower body injuries where he never had the power the last 4 or 5 years. You know, he could hit for average sometimes, but he never really had, he lost the power. But easy Hall of Famer, 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. And, you know, he's kind of playing out the string now, but yeah, I had Miguel Cabrera many, many years. And I probably overdrafted him years that he was already on the decline, hoping that he would bounce back too.
And Pujols or Cabrera?
That's a good question. Pujols like hasn't been good for like 8 years, and he stuck around way too long. But I think peak Pujols. I'll say narrowly Pujols.
Mm-hmm.
But and he played in that park that wasn't very good, like, you know, Busch Stadium, for a lot of his career. I'll say Pujols.
Boy, they just showed the brawl between the Mets and the Cardinals. That was a good one as far as baseball brawls go.
Who were the main perpetrators?
I could not tell who was up.
It was that good, huh?
It was, they were yapping and yipping, and then all of a sudden it was on, and they met on the third base line.
It'd be a real shame if some guys on other teams that I don't have got suspended. It would be a real shame, Scott.
It would be. And then the bullpens, that you don't see the bullpens empty, but they came on a sprint from both bullpens. So that, you know, it's a good one when it happens out there.
Yeah.
One more baseball query here. Did my White Sox make a huge mistake in letting Carlos Rodon go?
Yes, they did. I mean, knock on wood, because I have Rodon in a couple places, and he's fragile, and if he gets hurt, it's not going to be a mistake, right? I mean, I passed on Luis Robert in the league for Mookie Betts, and after the first week, I was like, oh, man, that's a grave mistake. Robert looks like an absolute monster. But the reason I passed on him is I think he's kind of like a Ferrari. Like, when things are running well, he's amazing, but he's high maintenance. He gets hurt a lot, and you know I hope he's better. But he's still dealing with his groin injury already. Rodon, you know, and so you know you're congratulating yourself through a week for 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks later you're like, oh, what a mistake. So for now, yes, it looks like they made a mistake. Rodon looks like one of the favorites for the Cy Young Award in the NL early on, but you know his injury history, and you know we'll see.
Got a football question, Chris, on the text line 0835. Would like your opinion on who will have the biggest fantasy impact with their new team. Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, or Allen Robinson?
That's a good question. I will say Devontae Adams in a PPR, because I think they're going to just give him, you know, and Derek Carr is competent. You know, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's competent. I mean, he's a decent quarterback. It's not gonna destroy Devontae Adams' value. So I'll go Devontae in a PPR. I think Allen Robinson will have some, you know, Cooper Kupp's there, and we'll have Allen Robinson really fit in as the number two. So I'll say he's third. And then Tyreek Hill is such a, you know, Scott, you know Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs. He's just such a monster talent, but I'm not sure the situation is conducive, and there's a lot of competition for targets in Miami. So I'll say Davante Adams out of those three.
I would say Davante Adams, unfortunately, as well, mm-hmm. since he's with the Las Vegas Raiders. But talking with Dolphins fans, they're concerned about the quarterback being able to get the ball to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and I mean, there's Jalen Waddle. I mean, there's competition for targets, and you've got Tua, and Bridgewater is really best suited as a backup. So it's not an ideal situation. But Tyreek Hill is just, you know, such an elite talent that, I mean, just get him the ball in space and let him do it. But yeah, I think Adams is going to be he's the one, you know, is going to be the alpha. That's the difference. You know, we don't really know. Tyreek Hill may get 125 targets, you know, 130 targets. Same with Allen Robinson, 125 targets. You know Davante Adams getting 150, 160 minimum.
One of our listeners letting us know, Nolan Arenado went after the relief pitcher to start that brawl, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. I don't have any Arenado. He's doing pretty well, so good. Hope there's if he needs to take, you know, listen, if he has to be suspended for a few days, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
So be it. So be it.
Unfortunate for those who drafted him.
Yeah. You guys are going to be, I'm sure, watching the NFL draft coming up. Anybody intrigue you? You know, we're going to see three quarterbacks pick, no matter how good they are in the first round. So, you know, Pickett's going to go and a couple others. So, you know, it'll be intriguing.
I think the Giants have two first top 10 picks. And I don't really follow college much, as you guys know, until they settle on their teams. I start looking at it. But from what I'm looking at, I hope they get a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman. You know, they just need – I just think they've been – their offensive line has been such a disaster. I don't think Daniel Jones is good. But I just feel like it's just been so bad for 3 years that – and he's been hurt a bunch. Like, we just don't even know. So they're going to stick with him this year. I think they just need to really – go all in on that offensive line, and then just give Barkley a chance to get healthy, give Daniel Jones a chance, and it'll probably be, you know, amount to nothing, but at least, okay, fine. Then you move on, and you've got the line built, and you've got, you know, a good defensive line and some pieces on defense. So I think that it's going to – I hope it's a boring draft for the Giants, basically.
You can have Tyler Linderbaum, the All-American center for Iowa.
I haven't looked into it, but I'll take it. Hopefully he's better than Andrew Thomas. Couple of years ago, Andrew Thomas, in his defense, played better last year, and he was hurt his rookie year. But yeah, that was the fourth overall pick.
All right, hey Chris, appreciate it. Thanks for the time. We'll talk in a couple of weeks, and everybody, check out chrislist.com, fantasy sports, and a whole lot more. Hey, enjoy the draft, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. You too.
All right, Chris List joining us every other Wednesday right here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Fantasy sports. We talk baseball and probably talk a little bit more football now, post-draft coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up on the Gym Class after this, KGYM.
Exceed your expectations of what makes great paint or stain with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains from Menards. Now all 11% off. With some of the most advanced technology, like enhanced UV resistances, dirt shedding protection, and true one coat coverage paint and primer in one. Finding your perfect paint or stain is easy. Get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paints and Stains. Now at Menards. Good through April 30th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Shine down in 3, 2, 1.
Cut the cord!
The hottest rock band in the universe. Shine Down, Planet Zero World Tour. September 6th, Alliant Energy Powerhouse.
It's about to get...
With special guests, Jelly Roll and John Harvey. Shine Down. On sale Friday at 11 a.m. at creventslive.com. Planet Zero, out July 1st.
Sox have beaten the Royals 7-3. The eight-gamer is over, Mark. Hallelujah. Kendall Graveman goes two innings to close it out for the White Sox. 319-366-1600. Todd and Alex coming your way next. We've got the Bulls and the Bucks coming up tonight at 6 o'clock for you. Tomorrow night, the NFL draft. We'll talk a lot of NFL draft for you coming up tomorrow on the program, getting ready for the first round. And we will here at least one Iowan with his name called, and that, of course, will be Mr. Penning from UNI, and we'll see if Breece Hall goes. We'll see if Tyler Linderbaum goes. Could see as many as three. Hopefully that will be the case coming up tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies on Thursday, Friday with the second and third rounds as well, starting at 6 o'clock right here on KGYM. We started off talking about Mark Emmert, who is now the outgoing president of the NCAA. A lot of people weighing in, and most of them, Mark, saying that the new, if the NCAA stays, or even if they go to some sort of a president's committee with the top echelon so-called power conferences in Division I, they all need to rule with an iron fist. I think so far, all the texts we've gotten, that seems to be the one theme running through them.
Yeah, I think so, at least a small sample size, but this is not an easy time to be the NCAA president, and whether it's going to be a single person or a committee or what have you, that remains to be seen, but some things need to be addressed, there's no doubt about it.
And how long is it going to take to address them? I mean, we're going to have this year, obviously, things are going transfer portal-wise, NIL-wise. It's going to be more than likely, you got to think, timetable at least a year, if not a year and a half, before any legislation, if there is going to be legislation to be done, it's going to take that long.
We'll see what the new constitution looks like, and I don't know a timetable on that. Excuse me, that was announced in January, I believe it was. So it's only been a few months since that announcement came about, and I'm not sure what kind of progress has been made. But that's going to have a lot to do with things as well.
Mentioned Jamie Pollard was happy but not happy last night. In case you missed it, Iowa State clinched the Cy-Hawk trophy last night.
Who knew?
I did not know until this morning when it was tweeted out by Iowa State. The softball game won by Iowa State, a one runner in Ames yesterday, clinched it, I think 14-12. Or something like that. But a record crowd, 1,500 to watch the game, and a well-played game by both teams. But Jamie Pollard not happy because there was not any media coverage of the softball game between Iowa and Iowa State yesterday. Said, I'm very happy. Reading between the lines of his tweet, he's stated that I'm very happy that Iowa State won the game and won the Cy-Hawk trophy and clinched it last night, but very unhappy for both Hawkeye and Cyclone athletes that no media people were at the game last night.
Not even the Iowa State Daily?
Now, I don't know if it was, if he was discounting the Iowa State Daily. I think he was probably talking about, I would assume, television folks from Central Iowa.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the first thing that came to my mind anyway. But he was not happy. He was not, and let his feelings be known. And Jamie's done that before. And there should be some.
And nothing wrong with that.
Should be people there covering that Iowa State softball game. But congratulations to
especially
Iowa State.
Especially with how much the stakes being so large.
Yeah, that was winner take all, I think.
Give me my tongue out of my cheek.
Stop. It's sponsored. So it's going to continue. And so congratulations to Iowa State. They are your Cy-Hawk Series trophy winners for 2021 and 2022. We will talk UNI football tomorrow. Cole Bear covers the Panthers for the Gazette will join us. We'll also get you ready for the first round of the NFL draft coming up tomorrow evening. That starts at 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies. NBA action tonight with the Bucks and the Bulls. Game number 5 with the Bucks at home with a chance to win. Have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KG.